Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 153 of Star Wars and Scotch for the second time because the recording failed on my side the first time. Hello, Tim.
Good job, Kevin.
Hi.
You're muted.
No, I'm not.
You are you unmuted?
My foot might have been on the pedal, but I was still talking to you in the live recording. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Oh my God, it's the morning of technical issues. So
hello. It's not a technical issue. It's just a foot pedal.
So we're going to review the small talk. We talked about how people north of you think it's always colder than where you are. That was the first thing we discussed in the other opening. Then we went into Kings Coast Coffee. So deliciouskingscoastcoffee.com. We have new bags. We talked about how cocoa is coming.
It's coming.
We talked about how we're trying to fix the TikTok shop so everybody can get discounts. Enjoy that. So we've had issues and we're two, three months into trying to fix it. So we're going to find out this morning, hopefully. So we're working on that. But all of your holiday needs, Black Friday drops, all that stuff is coming for Kings Coast Coffee. So that's kingscoastcoffee.com. Okay. Then we talked about GCX. Tim said he was going to hang out in the Tabletop Tavern the entire time. I'm literally recapping our banter.
You're doing a great job.
And the thing is, I feel bad for the folks, but it's like we're not going to capture the moment again, so we may as well just get to where we were.
I agree.
We were complaining about phase two of the High Republic. Yes. GCX, Tim will be in the Tabletop Tavern. The arcade's returning. The unnamed after party will be back and more. So give the gift of GCX this holiday season. GCXevent.com. Take your loved one on a lovely vacation with a bunch of other nerds in August at GCXevent.com. It'll be fun. I promise. And then
he's promising.
And then shop lab77.co or com.
CEO
for Black Friday. That's where you want to be, or youtube.com/darkness429. And then we lost the whole conversation about Tim getting level up partnership.
Oh no, that's fine. We don't need to talk about it. That's fine.
But Tim's streaming journey. Oh man, I'm pissed. I'm pissed at my computer.
It's all right. It's okay.
I'm so mad. Anyway. But
the moment's gone.
Tim is a level up partner on Facebook now and a Twitch affiliate. So his streaming career is really coming along.
I really should have signed that exclusive contract.
Still funny. Anyway, phase three of the High Republic is out officially. It is out, and the book The Eye of Darkness.
Yes.
Which I assume refers to our good friend Markion Rowe sitting on his throne. We can't tell if it's a snowy place like where he's from or if that is no space behind him.
I would assume it's where he's from. That's my assumption.
Okay. But he's chilling on his throne with his lightsaber, hanging out, talking in a weird cadence like he does. Also, it's so good to hear Mark reading it again.
So good.
Definitely captures my attention more. And George Mann is a good author, so I'm looking forward to the rest of this book, but I'm probably an hour or so in. And what we were saying before the recording corrupted was that when he was talking to the Jedi in the very beginning of the book, I sat there and said, what the hell was the point of phase two? Like, you literally just made me wait over a year to get from the end of phase one to the beginning of phase three, which was actually the point. And I know people are going to come back at me and say all this stuff. I officially, at this beginning and at this point, did not enjoy Phase 2. I said it at GCX, and, you know, some folks didn't agree with me. I stand by what I said. Phase 2 at this point seems completely and utterly pointless, aside from a few little plot points that could have easily been inserted into Phase 1 or Phase 3, or, you know, referenced at some other time. Nothing seemed important. The whole path of the open hand, path of the closed fist, which eventually I'm assuming becomes the Nihil. It just, it like, I don't know. I didn't like, and I read more of the books than you did.
Yeah.
You did. You read the adult ones. I read the teenage ones, which was a huge mistake.
Yeah. I don't know how you did that.
Once you start, you just got to finish. That's the way I see it. So,
gotcha.
I go back here, and I know it's time to move on to Phase 3, but like, I don't see the point. I think it was a waste of time. I think it was a waste of money. I think that is when the fandom actually started to be like, okay, what the hell are we doing? And when, remember, we covered it a few weeks ago when Disney basically said about the High Republic, they were like, okay, wrap up the books. It's time to move forward.
Right.
I have a feeling most of the backlash that they got in that comes from the reaction to Phase 2.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Phase 3 can save the High Republic. But I mean, like, that's going to be it after Phase 3, right?
Yeah. I mean, there will be more books, but I don't think it'll be a dedicated series like it is right now. I think it'll be sporadic.
Just kind of sprinkled in.
Yeah. Just like they do with the other books. I mean, along this journey, we got, what's the book? I never remember the name of the Sith one.
The Inquisitor one.
That's Rise of the Red Blade. The other one with Luke.
Shadows of the Sith.
Shadows of the Sith, Rise of the Red Blade. We got the book for the Jedi Fallen Order Survivor in between book, which again, I didn't like that book either, but we got it. So there's Brotherhood came during this point. I think it'll just get added to the catalog as another time to write about, which is interesting. But I think this phase lasts about a year, if I'm not mistaken. How long is Phase 3 of High Republic? Let's see. How long is Phase 3 of the High Republic?
And then what do we go into after that? Have they put out a roadmap saying like what is after this?
This is the end of the roadmap that they put out a few years back. I think it was 5-6 years ago now. This is the end of that roadmap, which is wild because we were covering that back. I think it was 2020, so 4 years ago.
Wow. That's good. Oh my God. Oh, that's crazy. That much time has passed.
Yeah. This is the end of that roadmap because they announced it during lockdown. My God.
It has been a wild handful of years.
So Phase 3 is the end of the storytelling series, but they will be releasing more High Republic content. So it won't be this heavy focus where it's this unified, you know, comics, books, it'll just be released in the same cadence that the other timelines are. Now, I'll say it because I have to, because it's in my head, and if I don't, I'll explode. Does this mean we'll finally get what we want in an Old Republic phase, or are we just going to sit for a while and hang out?
I don't know. I guess a lot of it comes down to what also is going to happen in Acolyte.
True. Yeah, because we don't know what that's going to link out to.
I think that's going to be a whole different ball game.
Yeah,
because I don't know what breaks off from that. Like, what is that? Like, could it be that Acolyte is what heralds whatever's next?
Well, Acolyte is the end of that era. It takes us into the current era.
Well, it's 100 years before Episode 1,
right?
You still have some time. So I wonder if that could then, would that intro us into whatever's next?
Well, it would make, if the Plagueis rumors are true, it makes sense that that's the perfect segue into where we are in the Skywalker saga, because...
Do you think they would rewrite the book?
I don't think they would rewrite the book. I think it would precede what happens in the book. I think it would take us up to the book. Now, the book is not canon. Keep that in mind.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying, do you think they would rewrite the book for it to be canonized and then they would come out with a show? Or not even a show, they would just they would bring that book out.
I think,
because it's a good book.
It is a good book. I haven't read it in a while, but
I would love, I would love to see them remake it to work within the canon timeline and all the canon mechanics.
Yeah.
Because there's things that have that, there's things that exist and things that don't that were in that book. But it would talk a lot about midichlorians and whatnot. So then that would play into Mando.
Yeah.
It they have to clean this midichlorian thing up. Because it's all over the place. It's like you've got people who have like high midichlorian counts that are apparently like really in tune with the Force, and then you have people who didn't even know they were a Jedi who became who, i.e. Sabine, can become a Jedi.
Which bothers me so much.
It still bothers me a lot. So they really need to clean this whole thing up, and maybe Plagueis could be the way to do it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean,
there's something there though, because the whole Dr. Pershing, Grogu, M count, cloning, like all of this stuff really plays into like how we explain how Palpatine comes back in episode 9. So I wonder if they're really trying to clean all this up to make it cohesive, because it's not cohesive at all.
No, it's not. It's
all over the place.
It is all over the place. I think, I mean, you could be onto something with the plague. Again, we're putting a lot of eggs in the Plagueis basket, but if you're going to connect a character we know, and let's be honest, they're not afraid to cater to the Uber nerd. I mean, Ahsoka really proved that to us.
Yeah.
Now, the views for Ahsoka were not as good as some of the other shows, but I think the attention Ahsoka got within the community was much higher than some of the other shows. So I don't know how that translates to money. I also have a feeling, too, you have to look at this factor, stepping outside of Star Wars and into the business world.
Yeah.
Disney's purchase of Hulu is going to have a profound effect on what happens moving forward with streaming and them. So my guess is Disney Plus will eventually go away. Hulu will be the platform for Disney, unless they want the branding and they do it the other way. But then the problem is you have rated R and whatnot stuff under your Disney branding. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it really depends. I just don't think they want to have two streaming platforms with two subscriptions anymore. I know they have the joint subscription and you can do it together. I'm at the end of my, I'm almost at the end of my, if it hasn't lapsed already, to be honest, Disney Plus deal where I got it for like $3 or something a month because I paid up front for like 3 years. But I already have Hulu Live and all that stuff. So I'm curious now, like, how do I package this out? I know they're going to do an ESPN play in all of this as well. You know, a sports package, which is one of the benefits of having Hulu Live, is like you can watch. I mean, there's some.
I get a lot of sports. The only thing that I miss out on is like Lightning games that are on Value.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with online streaming services right now, is that locals can't watch their sports teams on regular streaming, which is so bizarre. Because they have deals with the cable companies. The cable companies are trying to push the money there, but no one's buying back into cable. It's still not worth it.
Yeah.
Because mainly the difference is you can buy cable and you're stuck with it with whatever package you get, or you could be like, I'm going to watch this show and subscribe to this service for a month, and then I'm going to cancel it and move to the next service. You know, you have that freedom. Regardless, Disney's going to combine everything, and I have a feeling that's going to affect how things play out for the future of Star Wars and Marvel and streaming and all of that stuff. Now, on the one hand, we know for Star Wars, or for Marvel, it opens up the door for more adult stuff. So
yes.
Punisher is already on Disney Plus, which is shocking.
That's wild. Yeah. People lose their heads in that show.
Yeah, yeah. It's a phenomenal show, but that's crazy. Blade just got announced that it was going to be rated R.
Wait, Blade is back on the table?
It's been back on the table, yeah.
Wait, but I thought, what's his face, wasn't going to be Blade?
Mahershala Ali?
Yeah,
no, he's still Blade.
What?
Yeah, he's back. They rewrote the script.
When did this happen?
They didn't like the first script. This was like earlier this year.
I know, and then
year.
He walked.
No, earlier this year, he's back.
Did we move into a different...
Maybe.
We're in a different timeline, aren't we? Because I could have sworn, Kevin, I remember them canceling the project and he was walking. Because
everyone hated the first final script.
When did they announce that it was back?
I want to say it was earlier this year. I mean, I think they're almost done with filming.
What?
Yeah.
Holy crap. All right.
So it'll be rated R, which shows me that Disney understands that they have to cater to an adult audience, especially if they want to stay on top of DC. Yeah. Because right now, with the fight they're having with the state of Florida, Universal is like mopping the floor with Disney at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Park-wise, yes, I agree.
Once Epic Universe opens, that is going to be a huge game changer. Universal also just got special district status, which was stripped of Disney.
Oh, no.
You know the Disney lawyers.
Oh, it's going to get messy.
The Disney lawyers are like,
It's going to get so messy.
Disney's going to destroy the state of Florida.
The mouse is going to kill someone.
Well, the other problem is with the state of Florida is if you look at so many people have quit I forget what it's called, the something tourism oversight board or whatever. So many people have quit. They said it's all it is cronyism to the governor and favoritism and all of this stuff. So no one's happy that works there. The guy who runs it, I've seen him flip his script a few times on things he was pushing for. And so it's just a mess and it's not going to end well. And you step to the mouse will ruin your life. Go watch the South Park episode. Like, that's the best one I got for you.
Nice.
But it's. All of that being said, Universal is stepping up their game, and they're linked to NBC Peacock. Everything you see at Universal, you can pretty much watch on NBC. Harry Potter, Transformers, I think Fast and Furious is on there. So point being, and going back to all of this, we're going to start creating more adult themes in Star Wars. That's where I was going with this.
Yeah.
And the question is, does that translate to the screen? Because Andor was definitely a litmus test for that.
Yeah.
And I think it worked over time like we said it would. Because you and I remember we were saying, even though the numbers are down now, watch. People will watch it and then they'll be like, oh, this is very good. This is very good. And that seems to be what's happening. So with the High Republic and making more shows and making more content, does elevating it to a more adult feel, which there is some older, I'm not saying adult content, but older content in some of the books. I mean, Elzar getting his freak on in that one book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's been some decapitations and things like that described.
Mm-hmm. People lost limbs, been impaled.
So if you're taking the entire focus out, we're not doing comics, kids, books, everything, but it's just part of the cadence at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to hurt it, help it, or just kind of maintain it?
I think it'll help it because they have come to understand who their user base is, like who their customers are, like who are really buying these things and absorbing the content and getting involved and talking about it online. I bet you they noticed a huge downtick in people talking about the High Republic during phase two. I'm sure, like, I know I did. I didn't talk about it as much. We didn't talk about it on the show as much. I didn't see a lot of people covering it as much. So I think for them to like keep these books, to add in more like adult tones for just all the books going forward, not just High Republic, but just like as we continue to go along, I don't think the Star Wars graphic teenage or the teenage novels, I don't think that does anything for Star Wars at all. I think all it does is it segregates your user base. Cause like for me, like I would love to know that story, but I'm not going to read it because of the tone. Like that's boring to me. I tried, I couldn't even get through the first chapter. It was exhausting. I just didn't care. But like at the same time, we have to remember that Star Wars is for kids. And so like, I think you do get, you got your Star Wars gold books and then you've got your adult books. Like, I don't think there's really anything in between. And then your comic books, but your comic books are most that you can subgroup that into your adult books. Cause you're not going to have a lot of kids that are going to be doing it. But most teenagers, like your 16 to 18 year olds, or 16 to 19 year olds, they're going to be probably reading the adult books. They're at that level. They're able to, or at least you would assume that they are able to.
Does the culture shift when this Hulu, Disney Plus, whatever it becomes, thing happens and there's more adult content accessible on one platform? Do they shift the culture and dive in a little bit deeper into things that have a more Andor-esque tone?
I think so. I don't see why they wouldn't.
And
it makes sense. I think we get darker shows for sure because it's what's going to sell. You know that most of the people that are consuming the Star Wars content are adults, or they understand that there are opportunities to capture a younger audience with certain shows. That's why, like, the Young Jedi does very well.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I think Young Jedi is a great show. I've watched it with Kyler. It's very fun. He's watched Mando with me. It's not a dark, but I would love to see what a Mando would look like in. I would love to see a dark Mandalorian show.
You'd have to go old.
But
old
I don't Republic. Think Mando is the right one for it because Grogu.
Old Republic.
It's too cute.
Mandalorian Jedi Wars. Candor Sword.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of, and honestly, I would love to see a darker Star Wars movie. We got that with Rogue One. We got it with Andor. But I want to see more of that. It's compelling.
Acolyte, I think, is going to scratch that itch for you.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to dive deep into the dark side.
I feel like Star Wars shines in that lens.
Star Wars shines when it taps into the fact that it is futuristic space fantasy.
Sure.
It really needs to embrace that from times. And what is fantasy at the end of the day? It's a struggle between good and evil. It's a question of morals and ethics. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's different levels of that.
You can't capture that in a young tone.
No.
It's impossible. It's impossible to capture that because children don't understand.
Again, because the best thing to do with the children is to paint it as black and white. As you know, this is good.
Good
this
guy
is bad.
Versus bad guy,
right?
Uh-huh.
But as an adult, you enjoy a Game of Thrones-esque tone
like
where
to,
there's
you
gray
like
lines.
To tiptoe on the line.
Well, there's
tiptoeing on the line, and as an adult, is far more intriguing than it is being polarized.
Think of Jaime Lannister's journey in Game of Thrones. How many times did you hate him, and then how many times did you feel bad for him or
him? Yeah, you feel for him,
and that's a good character, a dynamic character,
or
like
a
that.
Thanos situation where you're like, he's not wrong.
I kind of get
it, or like the Joker, where you're like, he makes a great point.
Yeah,
you know, it's like those are the awesome bad guys, and those are the things that you remember.
The ones who make you question your own morality, the ones who make you question your own ethics and morals.
That's why I love Darth Maul in Clone Wars, because there are parts where Darth Maul talks, and you're like, I get it. Like, I understand
his conversation with Ahsoka in the throne room on Mandalore. Nothing he says is false.
No, all thing. Of it was fantastic, and that's why, like, I fell more in love with Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's a good bad guy.
Yep, even Thrawn,
a great bad guy.
Nothing.
Thrawn is another one where it's just like, and again, like, I find those characters because they have more depth to them. You know, like for me, Vader is a great bad guy, but he's nothing more than what Tarkin calls him.
Mm-hmm.
He's his guard dog, you know, he's his attack dog. Like, that's all he does. Like, Vader is not a very complex character. Anakin, on the other hand, is a very complex character.
Anakin is, and Palpatine's great too, but Palpatine is just a manipulator. That's why you like him, because
Palpatine's so far on the evil side of the spectrum that it's just, again, it's another one of those, like, that's a bad motherfucker.
But you mentioned Joker too. Joker's in that spectrum of so evil too, but he says things.
But he's chaos, but at times he can be chaotic neutral.
His monologue,
which is very fun.
In The Killing Joke, when he says, how many times have we been so close to World War III because a flock of geese flew across a radar screen, is like embedded in my brain, because mm-hmm. how many times has that happened?
Sure.
You know, or when he in the Dark Knight Rises, is it Rises? No, it's Dark Knight, when he's in the hospital. And he says, you know, if I kill one measly little senator or governor or whatever, with mayor, everyone flips it. But if a caravan of soldiers dies, nobody blinks an eye, because it's supposed to happen. It's all true. Yeah. And that's what it is. Palpatine doesn't really do that to you. Palpatine is more, I'm 10 steps ahead of you. I already thought what you thought years ago. Yeah. And like you said, he's just so far in the evil spectrum. Joker, he makes me question myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. Thanos does the same thing, because you're like, well, he's not really pretty. Yeah. And Thanos is more, he's interesting, because he's not really a bad guy.
He's like almost anti-hero.
Yeah. it's the
but he killed a bunch of people, so it's like, ugh.
But did he kill them by making them disappear?
He's more like a, but he's also more like a warlord too, because he makes other people do his bidding, where he's like, my hands are clean, I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's how we get the amazing, fine, I'll do it myself scene.
Do it myself. You know, it's just like, it's, ah, man, it's so good.
Yeah, but those are the best villains. The ones that really make you, and you mentioned Maul, like, when he's laughing at her and he says, there is no justice. And I'm like, he's not wrong. And that, I have a feeling right now, Markion is in this self-discovery phase. He's trying to figure out his identity and who he is. And he's,
is he?
And he's, yes, because he's still, he's got the lightsaber. He hasn't done anything with it a few times. He's in charge of the Nihil.
He's kind of, I mean, he's kind of killed someone with it.
Kevin. I mean, not like anything crazy or anyone we care about. Let's
he killed his owner with it. Like, that was pretty dark.
No, he didn't. He got the leveler to kill. That's, what's his face? His lightsaber, the Twi'lek. He got the leveler.
I thought he killed, didn't he kill him?
The leveler killed him.
Did the leveler kill him?
Yep. Because you find his, they find his body in one of the comics.
They find the husk. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yep. So, I think. I have a feeling Markion's going to go on that moral, like, he's going to say things you're going to be like, well,
he's not wrong.
Even the way the Republic, I don't know how far you are into it. And again, this is very early in the book. Even
chapter one.
Even the way
started
that
started today.
So did you get to the part with Lina So and.
Not yet.
Lina So's talking to Elzar Men. It's not.
I literally just got to Coruscant. So I'm about to.
Their conversation, there, without giving away details, is revolving around Elzar getting mad that the Republic is even considering having peace talks with the Nihil.
Oh.
And that's where I think they're going to go with this, is like, at what point, and even on the Republic side, at what point is it moral to save, you know, the quarantine zone, whatever they called it, whatever's behind the Stormwall. And help those people by creating a peace treaty versus going to war to try and defeat this enemy that you know you can't trust.
Yeah.
So, again, the moral conundrums are what make these stories good. The characters that are gray and, you know, again, even with Maul, Maul's like Jaime Lannister. How many times have you flip-flopped on your opinion of Maul throughout Clone Wars, throughout Rebels? You know?
And you feel for, I feel bad for him multiple times,
especially when you learn his backstory and you realize how used he was by the Night Sisters and then by
the Emperor. Yes. Oh my God!
So there's a lot of ways we can go about this, especially with someone like Markion and whatnot. So I'm interested to see, honestly, are we going to start taking this adult tone when this phase three ends? Are we going to, you know, create, like you said, they always have to have the golden books. They'll always be there. Yep. It's merchandise they sell at Disney. It's merchandise they sell in Target. It'll always be there. But what's the future? And if you do want to take that adult tone, Old Republic is another great playground for that, because that Old Republic game is not for kids. Revan's story, I think it's too complex for a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great story. Now, could my son watch it now and absorb it? Sure, but he's not going to get all the nuances that would go along with a Revan story.
Yeah.
But you have so much to choose. The Jedi Mandalorian Wars. Like you said, you want a dark Mandalorian story? Go back to then when they were freaking straight up warlike culture. You know, at the height of their fighting the Sith and the Jedi, and the cell they put Maul in. That's what they used to.
Oh my God, that was so sick. That's what they put the Jedi.
That's
in the
what they used
Republic.
To put the Jedi and the Sith in back in the day to keep them, you know, bound essentially. So just
so dark and awesome.
you can go to those stories if you open up the High Republic. But again, too, even with Old Republic, even with the High Republic too, there's thousands of years between both of those stories to tell stories in too.
Yeah.
So Star Wars has a really great problem of just being able to expand and tell stories far beyond Tim and I's lifetimes, which is...
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Kevin.
What do you mean?
I would like to imagine that we'll be around for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, dude, even if I got like 60 years left, that's plenty of Star Wars, but they won't be done with it.
God, I hope we come to an end. Could you imagine, though, if we actually got to see the end of Star Wars? Like, they're like, there's nothing left to tell.
What happened?
But just imagine, like, what if we actually got to see... all of Star Wars in its entirety.
What if they...
Like, I look forward to a day where Epic turns off the Fortnite servers.
Oh, you want like an old man, apocalyptic MMO situation.
Yeah, I'd be like, man, that was fun. I'm really glad I got to experience that.
There's been,
and now it's over.
There's been a few of those. So you had the Matrix one. Did you ever see that one? Matrix Online?
No.
So Matrix Online, they disconnected everyone when they shut down the servers. So all of a sudden, every character in the game did that like scream when they get disconnected from the server. Like, they all went like this to the sky. And then it was boom, your server's been disconnected.
Wow.
You can watch the video.
That's kind of cool.
There was...
I'm going to have to go watch it.
I think it was Planetfall or Tabula Rasa. I can't remember. They had an apocalyptic event happen. So they left the servers on and you could try and live, but basically a meteor shower just started to destroy the planet and all the players.
Oh my God.
Couldn't res once the meteor shower hit. So people were trying to survive. I can't remember which one that was. Final Fantasy, when before they brought it back, 14.
Yeah.
When they before it became A Realm Reborn and they had the original game that was just absolute hop garbage. They did an apocalyptic event where this dragon appeared in the sky and there was this whole like battle and everything got destroyed and wiped. And then it's actually in the current story that that happened prior to where you leave off in the beginning of the game. So they actually made it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
A canon event. So that you're basically your journey through the shit version of the game originally is preceded. And then you have this apocalyptic event and then you start new in A Realm Reborn. So they
I like that. Yeah. That's really cool.
It's a great way to kind of do that. So MMOs have had these apocalyptic things happen. Even WoW teased that they're not shutting down, but at BlizzCon they teased that an apocalypse will be coming to WoW at some point.
Kind of cool.
I mean, it's happened like 1,000 times already in WoW. So we're
I want to experience that with Star Wars, where we get to a thing and it, like, you know, in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then we get to the end.
Then you never get your ninth Jedi.
But I would hope that maybe we do get to a point, but like there's gotta be an end.
I'm telling you right now, this is the best thing we can do, Tim. You and I need to write the Ninth Jedi movie. I'm telling you.
I don't know.
We are only getting older. And if you don't do the thing you want.
This is true.
So I think, and chat, chime in here. You're still chat.
Wait,
they're still chat.
They can't chime.
They will on Twitter and whatnot. They'll always be chat. I can't call them listeners or whatever. They're always chat.
Fair.
Chime in here. Should Tim and I write a Ninth Jedi movie?
No.
Say yes.
When are we going to find the time to do that?
It's not about the time. It's about the passion and what we can do, Tim. This would be huge. Huge.
I don't have the time. How is that going to pay my bill?
Well, it's definitely a long-term investment, Tim.
Oh, God.
I told you we'd meet Dave Filoni someday.
Please don't. Please
I haven't
don't
forgotten that promise
for the love
to
of
you.
God. Like, maybe that's a retirement thing. Maybe, like, when we're old and, like, retiring to the mountains of New Zealand, we write a Star Wars story.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back from our break, forced by Discord.
Thanks, Discord. This episode is not brought to you by Discord.
Nope. They don't sponsor anything anyway. The Mandalorian season 4. Got it. Someone needs to put a muzzle on me. Mandalorian season 4 is, quote, getting ramped up.
Ramping.
And Katie Sackhoff hints at her return. Well, now that the SAG-AFTRA strike is settled, they were supposed to start shooting in October, so they're a month behind. Not too bad. Not too bad.
It's not too bad.
No, I think we can hopefully. Katie Sackhoff posted a picture of herself wearing the Bo-Katan wig.
Nice.
With her baby, which her baby is very cute. So does she take the wig home?
I don't know.
Or she thinks she's at work with the baby?
I think the baby came with her.
Okay. Be funny if she just wears the wig around it. Maybe her husband's into it.
I don't know. You have his number.
I could. Like, you want me to text her? Yeah,
you could ask.
I could text him right now.
Don't ask what he's into. Ask if she takes the wig.
Hey, Rob, long time no talk.
Hey, dude, what's your wife into? Like, that would be so weird, Kevin. We'd want to continue to foster that relationship, not burn it to the ground.
I'm not going to do that. How's that sound? Is that okay?
All right, thank you so much.
We're not going to do that.
So awkward.
On Tuesday, Brendan Wayne, one of the two stunt doubles who plays the titular character in The Mandalorian, posted a picture of the soccer team he coaches with the caption, "Only one thing is more exciting to me than the strike being over or season 4 of Mando getting ramped up, and that is season 2 of Coach Mando and the Lady Lancers." That's cute. We're off to the races again. Now,
hooray.
We're not going to go into a whole... Oh, this is our theories. We're too soon for that. But you think Bo is really going to be the main character moving forward?
Yeah. I think that'd be sick.
I do too.
It would make sense. Like, we continue with the story of the Mandalorian people. Like, Din and Grogu have a happy ending. Like, that's sick. They can show up. They can do their thing. But make this more about the Mandalorian people.
Do you like the idea of almost treating it as almost as an anthology show where then Bo would pass the mantle to somebody else along the way?
I think you're probably going to... Well, they said he only wanted 5 or 6 seasons.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So I think what would happen is we're going to get the rest of the story of what happened to... Like, what happens with Mandalore, the Mandalorian people, the rebuilding of the planet. And then there will be some overarching thing that happens that would then bring us into the ending of the Mandoverse.
Well,
because something with Thrawn is going to happen at the end, which would then bring forth the movie, which would then close that story off.
I was going to say, you know who doesn't like Mandalorians? Or I should say, you know who doesn't like Thrawn? The Mandalorians.
Yes.
So that would play perfectly into that. Now, I mean... Does that open the door up to our original theory from Mando season 3 that Rook Cast will eventually make an appearance under the command of Thrawn?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, I assumed he was dead.
She.
Oh, she's dead. Sorry, I was thinking of the other guy. Who is the other guy?
Him. Gar Saxon.
Damn. But we thought that... Yeah, Gar Saxon. I don't know. I totally forgot about that theory.
We know Rook's still alive.
Yes,
because she's in the comics.
Maybe? I don't know. You need a Mandalorian bad guy, I would think.
I think that would make it fun. Yeah? And I think while we can still see him, because we probably only killed a clone, Moff Gideon, I don't think is a good Mandalorian bad guy at this stage anymore. He's been beaten so many times.
No. Yeah, I'm tired of watching him get his ass kicked. I like Giancarlo Esposito enough where I'm just like, please stop kicking his ass.
I also want to keep him in the story, but not have him be the main antagonist.
I mean, like, but I don't think there's much left for him if he's...
Oh, there is if he's still alive, because now his buddy's back and he was talking shit about his buddy when they had that little dark council meeting.
I don't care about him. Shadow Council. Yeah. Do you think then the Mandalorians could use him to fight Thrawn?
I think Thrawn will put him in his place.
Oh, okay.
I heard you said some unsavory things about me while I was gone.
You make him sound so insane.
I mean, he's probably one of those very calculated and smart psychopaths, don't you think?
Your Thrawn voice makes me just think that he's just from the loony bin, like he's a Batman bad guy. He escaped Arkham.
Yeah, maybe I went too heavy on that. It's probably the Batman influence in my life.
I think it's the Batman. I think you can't get away from Batman.
Yeah,
Kevin is a huge Batman fan. I always forget how much of a Batman nut you are.
Because everyone's like, oh, you know, did you watch Dragon Ball Z and Cartoon Network and all that stuff? And while I did dabble, Batman the Animated Series was my thing. Like, I wore those VHS tapes out and then those DVDs.
Yeah.
I still have the DVDs, and I held one up to Danielle. It's not scratched, but you can see the wear on the bottom of them from spinning so much and on the outside.
Yeah.
Because I have watched those episodes ad nauseum. Now they're on HBO Max, so I don't just watch them on there. But like, my son is already watched through animated series. Audrey watches through them pretty much annually at this point. When she heard it was on HBO Max,
that's cool.
She's like, Dad, make me a profile. I'm like, why? She goes, I'm watching the whole thing. She actually called me last week, Tim. She's like, how do I get the Arkham series on my Xbox? And I was
like, I love that you have that with them. That's really cool.
She's so mad because you can't buy Arkham Asylum on its own. They make you buy the collection for $60 of Asylum, City, and
gross.
Night.
I didn't know that.
And Night's on Game Pass, and she has Game Pass. So she's even more mad that she's like, I got to buy the game I already have on Game Pass just to play Asylum. I'm like, I have it on PC. She's like, I don't have a PC. So, yeah, I'm a huge, huge bat. Not really DC. Like, I would prefer Marvel collectively over DC, but
yeah, that's fair.
I'm Batman.
Batman, though, that's your jam.
Oh my God, it's the villains.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily Batman. It's the villains.
Bad guys.
It's the best rogues gallery of any other hero. I would say X-Men would be my second favorite when it comes to villains.
X-Men's solid.
Yeah, they have Magneto, Sabretooth, Mystique.
Yeah, because they have like powers and stuff.
They're the perfect I like when villains match who they're up against.
Yeah.
And Superman and Doomsday is like too much for me. I don't like Superman because he can just do everything. That's boring. And then you just have a villain that can kick his ass. It's just boring. Like, where's the fun? So,
where's the pizzazz?
Yeah. Batman's great because the way he talks to the Justice League in some of those cartoons and comics when he's like...
Oh, in the animated series, it's great. He treats them like a bunch of idiots.
Oh, the best is when he tells them he has a contingency plan to take them each down individually as well as collectively if they ever go rogue on
him. I didn't know that fact until you told me that. I was like, I didn't know he Tony Starked them.
Oh, 100%.
That was great.
Just like he always keeps kryptonite in his pocket just in case Superman decides to go apeshit on him.
And Tony had a Hulkbuster, so, you know.
They're very alike. If there was
very much, so. Was, oh yeah, DC definitely. I don't know which one came first. I would assume Tony Stark came first.
No, Batman's been around since the
did Batman come
late
first
30s, I think.
Oh man, so yeah, Marvel definitely ripped Bruce Wayne.
Tony's his own dude. Like, Bruce is not this.
They're very similar.
They're similar in their profile as a
rich playboy, lost their parents.
But Tony is actually living the life. Bruce is pretending to live the life.
Bruce has a butler. Tony has an AI companion. They have a hard time with love. Don't like to get attached to things.
Well, I guess Bruce settles down too with Selina. So I was going to say, because he settles down with
Tony
Pepper.
Settles down with Pepper. He settles down with, you know, who should be a bad guy.
Oh, no. Catwoman's complicated. Don't get me started on that.
I know, but she stole his heart.
We need a whole podcast for Catwoman and Batman's relationship. That's a whole thing. So Taika Waititi was talking to Ash Crossan from Entertainment Tonight, who I've invited on the show, and she hasn't answered me. So, Ash, if you're listening, check your email spam folder, maybe. And basically, he said he's still working on the Star Wars movie, but he has four other scripts to write before it.
That's ridiculous.
Here's why that upsets me.
Okay.
Because it's just like the lack of priority. Like, why hire someone you know is going, like, hire them when it's time and dedicate the resources to someone else who can do something sooner.
I agree.
Because if you've got four scripts to write, let's say, how long do you think it takes to write a script? 6 months?
I don't know. I've never written one before.
Well, we're going to, so we're going to find out. So a full writing team, it takes like 6 months. Ish.
See,
to a
full
year.
Riding team, Kevin. Are we going to have a full riding team?
We have Ben.
Okay.
I'm sure we can use ChatGPT as the fourth writer for this too.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I'm sure that'll work out really well.
I don't know. By the time we start writing this, and when we're in our 60s,
ChatGPT as a tool for writing is okay. Using ChatGPT to write it is not okay. But saying, "Hey ChatGPT, how does this portion of what I wrote sound? And do you have any grammatical or changes that you would recommend?"
I like that.
Is the way that's how I use. I will write an email, put it into ChatGPT. Ask it to proofread, and Shane, our project coordinator, and who has an MBA in writing, would agree with me that that is the proper use of it.
I agree. I agree with you. I don't have a degree in writing, but I also agree with
so
you.
So I use.
I like to take an email and it's like, please make this sound a little more friendly.
That's it. That's what I use it for. So, or you can use it for help you like get out of a mental block. ChatGPT, I'm stuck here, and these are my ideas. That's it. Do not have it write the script for you, but using it as an effective tool to help you write something is something I use in daily life. Mm. And then Ben's got crazy outlandish ideas. So also Ben's the most researched on Joseph Campbell, and Joseph Campbell is one of the major influences of George Lucas to write Star Wars. So back to Taika Waititi. But that's my point is, if it takes 6 months, and that's just your first draft too, because they're going to come back with changes or things they don't like, or that's where things get stuck in development hell. You know, it could take up to a year. I mean, it could be anywhere from 3 to 5 years before he gets started on the Star Wars script.
We're never going to see this movie.
Like, bring somebody else in.
It's gonna get canceled.
I mean, every Star Wars movie is getting canned from a writing perspective right now. Kevin Feige's got killed. This one's taken forever. So it's just, I don't know what the issue is and why they don't just let the people that are doing a good job do more. Unless, again, the focus is we're not going to make movies for a while and we're just going to stick to the television shows because they're doing so well.
I mean, like, they have a great formula working for them right now. Like, I don't know if they really want to mess around with it.
I did see that movies, AMC reported very solid in record earnings and Q3.
Uh-huh.
So the whole idea that movie theaters are dead because of COVID is not factual. Now,
no, I would have to agree with you.
I think they're consolidated. I think we will see less movie theaters and more.
I've seen a lot of movie theaters shut down. I've
seen a lot of movie theaters shut down, especially the mom and pop ones. The corporate chains obviously will survive. The other thing I've seen is a higher level of service in the movie theater, like AMC now is doing the test theaters that have seat service and things like that, that they've stolen from other ideas.
That's so nice.
The AMC by the veterans, the big one.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. The ones
in Tampa. Yeah. They have a bar. They have a full bar. So you can go get your shit snacks. And then you're walking, there's a full bar you can go order drinks from. So you're seeing them cater to, you know, not just popcorn and soda anymore, and trying to elevate the level of enjoyment when you go to a theater. So that's why, because my original thought is, why don't they just make more movies that go on Disney Plus? But if they're going to make a movie, they're going to want to make ticket revenue off the movie, not just subscription revenue. So they're going to want to send you to the movie theater, which is why they don't make movies that go direct to streaming. So that's my 2 cents.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I want them to if they're going to make movies, like, stop. I don't understand what the holdup is. Is that the best way I can say it?
I think so.
I mean, what was the last Star Wars movie we got in theaters?
Episode 9.
Was it?
Yep. Episode 9 was the last Star Wars movie that we got.
That was like,
everything else has been shows.
That was before COVID lockdown.
Yeah, it was. It was right before it. It was that summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And Endgame was the year before, right?
I think so. I remember watching it in the movie theater. I definitely watched it in the movie theater.
Did you get people cheering?
Yes.
Did you see it?
It was
fun. You saw it opening weekend?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want it spoiled for me.
Yeah, that was the only thing that... Somehow it never got spoiled for me. That was the only thing that I regret about my watch through, is that I didn't get to watch it like with everyone else.
You know what's crazy is I don't care
like now, like I've seen like all of like the newer Marvel stuff. Like I haven't seen the Loki finale yet. And I like, we've been watching Loki and we just haven't had time to watch the finale. But like if someone told me like what happened at the end, I'd be like, okay. You know, like I'll go and watch it, like whatever. Like I don't know if it's just I've gotten older and I just don't care, or there has just been like it's so hard to like
it's that
now, like with I think it's the just like it's so hard to get to the movie theater and now with the kiddo or just like everything else going on in the world, just like like I have a backlog. I'm essentially you now. I have a backlog of Marvel.
You know, and that's me with games because I don't stream anymore. So, you know, like I've said it before, I got 18 games on my whiteboard over here that I want to play. Currently playing Spider-Man. I've had a few things like ruined for me, but again, the context and the enjoyment of me diving in myself is still there. It's not completely like off the table and completely ruined for me. So it's there's still an enjoyment there, but the internet, and if you're going to be a part of the internet, which I would prefer not to be, but like my whole life revolves around it, so I don't have a choice. then you got to go in knowing that things are going to get ruined and spoiled, especially when, you know, I went from playing 50 hours of games a week for work to maybe I can play 6 to 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant reduction. So I just have to come to grips with the fact that some things will be ruined and, you know, it's still the physical enjoyment of experiencing it yourself. Like the big thing for me in Spider-Man right now is I am really into the story of how Peter and Miles are working together, but dealing with their personal struggles all at the same time.
Yeah.
And the flip flop between their stories. I think this is the best.
It's
Spider-Man
phenomenal.
From a story perspective. And the first two were awesome.
Fantastic. Yes, I agree with you 100%. I'm so happy that it's a nomination for Game of the Year. It's not going to win it, but it is definitely in my heart one of the games of the year. Like I don't think there was one Game of the Year this year. Like there have been a multitude of Game of the Years that I wish that they could all get an award because they were just so good after years of just nothing. It's been like this has been the best year yet for gaming, but Spider-Man's story was just God, it was perfect. In my opinion, it was a great Spider-Man story. And you haven't gotten to the end of it, right?
No, I just finished the...
God, when you get to the end of it and you watch the post-credit scenes, let me know.
Yeah, I just...
Because there's two. And it lets you, just like the first Spider-Man, it will do something and you're going to be like, whoa. So I'm excited to... See your
the Emily
reaction to that.
May Foundation just got attacked by the hunters. That's where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm probably like 60%.
Yeah, you're getting there.
Yeah.
You're close.
I'm crawling, but I'm getting there. But man, the story's so good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Peter, I don't know what happens with the suit, but Peter still has the symbiote, but it keeps.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Keep watching.
Keeps doing things. And Peter's voice changes from time to time briefly.
Yeah, it turns into a whiny bitch.
But my God, that ultimate attack.
Oh, so good. When you go brute. Yeah. Peter Brute.
One last thing before we get out of here for the day. Kihue Kwan, you guys know him as Short Round. You might know him as Data. I don't know his name in Loki. What's his name in Loki?
He is Ouroboros or OB.
He has said he wants to be, it's one of his dreams. And if we're going to give anyone a dream fulfillment,
deserves that.
Oh my God. I love him so much. Anyway, he wants to be a part of Star Wars. And the best tweet I saw, it said, if you do not make him a smuggler that looks up to Han Solo and follows him around everywhere, you have failed.
Oh my God, that would be so awesome. So it would have to be like a post-episode 6, pre-episode 7, like short. And it's oh my gosh, that would be so awesome.
One last ride
his character
for Harrison Ford.
His character and Harrison Ford being Han Solo.
Just so annoyed with him.
Oh my God. Oh, I want this so badly. Just one final hurrah from Harrison Ford.
And if there's any situation that we're like, yes, you can do it one last time. If you do that, it's this.
And I think he would agree to it.
He loves him. He loves him.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Have you seen the reaction that they had when they saw each other for the first time in however many years?
Yep.
It was so just, oh my God. It was just so pure.
So
I loved it.
Please. There is no other option, in my opinion.
Oh, I want this so badly.
That's it. Or if he can't do it again, have him like just idolize Han Solo and talk about him incessantly and whatever, yes. You know, like, oh, I remember Han Solo. He was one of the greatest smugglers. Obsessive.
Need it. I need that so badly.
God, that's such a great idea. Yes.
So, yeah. The only other person I think we need a redemption arc for as far as acting goes, because we got our Hayden. Hayden is just, oh, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're going to see so much more Ahmed Best, I think, coming up in the future.
God, I hope so.
It's Jake Lloyd. He is the last person that needs a redemption arc in all of this.
Isn't he? Okay, so we were actually talking about him on stream the other day. Is he in jail right now?
No, I think that was a rumor, or he was in jail.
No, there's a mugshot here. If you Google him, there is a...
I think he was in jail. I don't think he is in jail.
Yeah. Man, poor child actors. They just get shit on.
Oh, he has schizophrenia.
Oh, he definitely needs... God, he needs a redemption arc hard. He's a year older than me. He's only 34.
Oh, I don't know if he can act. He has paranoid schizophrenia.
Oh, no. He definitely needs something.
Yeah, apparently he assaulted his mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what schizophrenia... That's not even his fault. That's sad.
Oh, that's so sad.
That sucks. I really thought he could get a redemption in all of this, but I don't know.
No, I don't think he's going to get it, dude.
No.
Poor guy.
Apparently he lives with his family, and he's on medication and stuff. That sucks.
No, I hate that for him.
That stinks. I mean, he didn't do a bad job playing a kid. But the internet.
Master Qui-Gon. State.
Now that's pod right racing, Tim.
That's pod racing.
That's going to do it for Tim and I today.
Yep.
On the.
Yeah, we're going to end on a really awkward note.
Hey. Out of all the episodes, I feel like we've only had technical issues like 5-6 times. I'm glad a bunch happened in this episode, so they won't happen in like trickled out in the future. It just happened in this one.
Ah,
so
we're just kind of just hitting it all at once. Yeah.
This is the one where we're like, that was a great episode. You guys saw it.
Best episode yet, guys. Really breathtaking.
That always happens, and Tim and I are like, okay.
Yeah, dude, the one where we were just like, I don't know what to talk about. We're just like, oh, we'll just figure it out as we go. And then people came in and chat, and I'm like, that was a really great episode. I'm like, yeah? You sure?
I think people like us just, again, they just like when we talk to each other.
Yep.
So
yep.
It is what it is. But thanks for hanging out with us on Star Wars and Scotch today. We'll be back next week. Yes, we will be. We're going to do an episode before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Oh, my gosh. When is that?
A week from tomorrow.
Oh, God.
And then we are recording on the 28th. You will see it on the 29th. I'm going to add it to your calendar today, Tim.
Okay.
We're going to have, that's when we're going to have LO come on and talk about droids.
Okay.
So,
he's really excited to talk about droids.
He's very excited to talk about droids. Just so you know, for the future, Tim and I will be off the week of Christmas. So the 27th, there will be no episode.
Where are you, Christmas?
So the final episode of 2023 will be December 20th, and then we'll be back on January 3rd.
Yeah.
So you got how many more episodes this year? Let's count. We got one. One episode. No, we'll do that. Did I ever tell you about that when I did that at Best Buy?
No,
I was working at Best Buy and we were doing inventory, and that was like one wireless cell phone case. Two. And they were like, Kevin, no, not now. two wireless cell phone cases.
Honestly, that doesn't surprise me coming from you.
Yeah. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more episodes for 2023. So if there's things you want us to talk about, discuss, questions you have for us, you know how to find us. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on the TikToks, although we don't read TikTok comments because some of you are very, very uncomfortable.
It's weird, though, because I'll be just
going through my FYP, and then we will show up, and I'm like, nope, just like, I don't need to.
Do you at least like it and repost it, and then?
Yeah, I like it, I do.
Okay, just making sure you don't just like scroll away from your own content.
No, but I just like, I know I don't, like, I know I would be tempted to look at the comment section, so I just don't do
it. Let me do it for you and Nick and tell you that you shouldn't look at the comment section, that's all I'm gonna say. Now, I will say that,
Do they call me fat?
98%. No, no one has ever called you fat. 98% of the time, everyone's being nice, but it's just those 2% comments where they're just like, or where they don't watch the whole clip and they take one sentence.
Do I need to cut? Do I need to go into a deeper cut?
Tim.
Who called me fat?
Tim, you're fine.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with anything pertaining to your body. It is all our opinions on Star Wars. That's it.
Okay, good. Oh, God.
You can find Timmy's Darkness 429. Go look at his buff self all on the internet. You could go to Facebook. He's a level up partner. You could go to Twitch.
No, I don't know. We're not streaming on Facebook. I only streamed once. It was for the Fortnite tournament. That was the joke. I thought it was really funny.
But you are a level up partner.
Don't. You can go to Facebook. You won't find me live there.
You can go to twitch.tv/darkness429. He's got sweet affiliate status. YouTube.com/darkness429.
Partnered there
full-fledged you can follow him everywhere else on the internet as darkness429. I'm Kevin Xvision on Twitter, kmagic101 everywhere else, all over the interwebs, wherever you can find
me. He changed his Facebook page to kmagic101, just FYI.
I did.
Yep.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing, just saying. twitch.tv/kmagic101.
All right. Dick. That's it for this week's episode. We'll see you next week, Tim. Tim, do the thing.
Oh, may the force be with you.
Always.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.